In the gospel reading, we hear this exchange between Jesus and some of his close relatives, and saying, well, go up to the feast and show yourself publicly, and all these things that they're talking about. And St. John says, because they didn't believe in him. They knew that the people in Judea, that is, in Jerusalem at that point, wanted to kill him. They didn't believe in him. They wanted him gone as well. Remember, in Nazareth, as I've told you before, the town was founded by a small group of people who had looked at Scripture, realized that the Messiah had to come from this particular line of people. And therefore, they said, the Messiah is going to come from one of our families. That's why they started the town. The word Nazareth comes from the Hebrew word natzer, which means the shoot. And so a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and so on. That's what it comes from, and that's why it was there. Of course, the people, as we hear from in St. John's Gospel, again, you think of Nathanael, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, now we have the opposite side of it. The people from Nazareth, the ones who are saying the Messiah is going to come from among us. Well, as we know, human nature hasn't changed. Can't be you. No. It should be me. It should be one of my siblings. It can't be you. They didn't want anything to do with him because he lived differently, and that's exactly what he said to them. He said, my time hasn't come, but your time is always here because the world isn't bothered by you. But because I challenged the world, it doesn't want anything to do with me. Now, one of the things that we hear in there is that odd little bit about, okay, he says he's going to stay as soon as his brethren leave to go to Judea, then he leaves and so on. What's that all about? Remember that three times a year, every single Jewish male had to go to Jerusalem. There were certain feasts that they had to be there for. Tabernacles was one of them. And so every Jewish male had to go. So was he going to violate the law and not go up to Jerusalem? And so that was the quandary. So the people are all there in Jerusalem. They're looking for him. They're talking about him. That's because all the Jews from the entire country were there at that point. So that's the background of all of that. We have to then look at the question of what our Lord was telling his own relatives. That the world doesn't want him because of what he does. So we have to ask ourselves, seriously, do we want him? Because he's going to challenge us. He's going to challenge the world too, and he's going to ask us to live like him. His own relatives, he said, oh, the world doesn't care about you because you're not a problem for them. Are we? If we're truly living a Christian life, we are going to be really irritating to the world. Now, that doesn't mean let's go out and be obnoxious and let's make people irritate us so that therefore we can say, see, the world hates me. No, that's because you're being a jerk. If you're being a true Christian, that means you're a light in the darkness out there. That means you are charity in the midst of selfishness. That means you are hope in the midst of despair. That means you are kindness in the midst of all the nastiness that's out there. Is that the way we're living our lives? It's not that we can look at ourselves as being better than anybody else, because we have to remember that our Lord told us why he chose us. Because we're the least and we're the worst, we're the most pathetic, we're not the best that he could find. And he chose the least so that no one could boast and so that the world wouldn't be able to say, oh, look how wonderful this person is. Instead, the world has to look and say, look how wonderful God is. Look what God is doing in this person and through this person. That's what we see in Daniel in the first reading. It wasn't about Daniel. Even the king understood that. And he said, everybody in the world needs to worship the God of Daniel. he recognized where Daniel was getting all of his stuff from. It was from God. It wasn't Daniel himself that was doing it. It was the Lord. You and I need to be the same way. It must be the Lord. And that's what Jesus told us. Let our light shine so brightly that people see our good works and give glory to the Heavenly Father. Not give glory to us, give glory to God. So that's how we want to be living our lives. Live them for the Lord. Live truly holy lives. That's what the world needs. It needs saints. And that's what God is asking us to be. So, as we look at it, we have to ask ourselves, do we want to believe, well, not do we want to, do we truly believe in the Lord? That is, do we really want him at the center of our lives? Do we really want to live the faith that we profess? That's what it's all about. Anybody can claim whatever they want. You can say that you're as Catholic as the day is long and then go out and live as a pagan like everybody else because you want to fit in. The world's going to think you're great, especially because you're being a hypocrite. And you can say, well, I'm Catholic, but. Well, there are no buts about it. You're either Catholic or you're not. So the question is, are we living it? Are we really being Catholic? And it's going to be in the way we live our lives, not just what we do here, what we do out there, because that's where the light has to shine. So that's what God is calling us to truly live what we profess, to be true Christians, to be true Catholics. So it's to believe everything the church teaches, but also to live everything the church teaches.